Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
If you'd open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and today I want to start the first of a two-part mini-series that's called Unleashing the Supernatural, Bringing the Spirit Realm to the Earth. Unleashing the Supernatural, Bringing the Spirit Realm to the Earth. In a little over a week, we'll be celebrating Halloween. Many people will be celebrating Halloween, and as we see society, there is an inordinate focus on the supernatural during this time of year. There is witches and ghosts, haunted house, horror movies, and usually when society focuses on the supernatural, they focus on the evil supernatural and how powerful it is. In fact, they portray the devil and demonic powers as being so strong, so superior, so ominous that they're virtually indestructible, they're virtually undefeatable. Whenever you see a pastor or a priest in the media combating one of these evil forces, the representative God is made to be very weak or very inept, and Satan or the demonic power just runs them off and they have no power at all. It either looks like God has no power, or maybe he's aloof and he doesn't care and he's off golfing somewhere up in heaven and he's not really that interested in what's going on here. But friends, nothing could be further from the truth when it comes to supernatural power. God is all-powerful. He is real, and he is superior in power than all the forces in hell. All God has to do is bat an eye, and Satan and all the demons in hell are defeated. That's how powerful God is. And yet, that's not what we see in our society. And yet, God wants to unleash his holy supernatural on the planet. Did you realize that? God wants the supernatural realm of heaven to kiss earth so that we have heaven on earth. God wants his power and his presence that is totally unrestricted and unbridled up in glory. He wants to have glory touch earth and it to break through into our lives, into our schools, in our campuses, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our church. Not just in a service on Sunday morning from 10 to 11:30, but he wants his power and his presence to be unleashed everywhere. The next 2 weeks, I want to talk about unleashing the supernatural on the earth. And our message today is called, Why I Love to Speak in Tongues. Why I Love to Speak in Tongues. Now, some of you who've been coming here to Casper Faith, maybe just a short while, you say, you know, I really love coming to church. I love the worship. I love the kids' ministries. I like the preaching. That was a good place for an amen, okay? I hope you like the preaching. You say, you know, I love the discipleship groups we've got going on. I love the friendliness of the church, and I really enjoy the cookies after church. You know, how many like the cookies? Yeah, everyone likes the cookies. And you're even going to like the spaghetti, okay? Yeah, that's right after church too. And, you know, I like all these things, but, you know, there's sometimes when in service someone gives a message in tongues, I'm a little uncomfortable. These guys are great. This church is great. This tongue speaking stuff is a little weird, okay? This morning, I want to share with you why I love speaking in tongues. I want to try to take some of the spookiness out of it, because if you're like me, I did not grow up in a Pentecostal church. And the very first time I was in a Pentecostal church, I mean, they're clapping their hands, and they're raising their hands, and I'm looking around saying, what in the world have I gotten myself into? I mean, I was used to standing when I'm told to stand, sit when I'm supposed to sit, kneel when I'm supposed to kneel, and I say what I'm supposed to say, and I mean, that was a little different. And then, when someone starts speaking in a different language, I'm going, these guys are nuts! How many of you, you felt something similar to that, your first experience in a Pentecostal church? Oh, yes, there's many of us here today like that. And today, I want to take some of the spookiness out of speaking in tongues and explain what it is. I'm going to do, first of all, briefly, I'm going to just share what tongues is. And then secondly, for the most of the message, we're going to talk about what does tongues, speaking in tongues, do for us personally. So if you have your Bibles, look at Acts chapter 1. And if you're in your notes this morning, the very first line, it says, what some people do not realize is that God unleashes His supernatural power and presence when we speak in tongues. God unleashes His supernatural power and presence when we speak in tongues. It's not a bunch of mumbo jumbo. In fact, you are actually speaking a real language. It might be a language that is spoken somewhere on the earth now, or it was spoken somewhere on the earth in the past and it's gone extinct. It's not there. Or it might be a special language God has just created for you to speak. But you're speaking a natural language. And so what is tongues? Tongues is the sign that a person has been baptized in the Spirit. Tongues is a sign. Halloween's in a few weeks. How do you know it's in a few weeks? Well, everywhere you go, you see cobwebs and orange lights and jack-o'-lanterns and ghosts and stuff on people's yards. You know, Christmas is going to be in a couple months. How many are done Christmas shopping? Wow, a couple of you. Good, good. You know, I love Christmas. I thought of last week, I should put up my Christmas lights. It's warm. I says, nah, instead I just did the whole yard thing and that. I almost put them up, and someone told me that this Friday, Friday's my day off, I was going to do it this Friday. Someone told me this Friday is going to be a low of 13 and a high of 30, and I was thinking I should have put my lights up 2 weeks ago, you know. You know Christmas is coming because you see the Christmas lights up, the wreaths up, you go to the mall, you see the presents, and you see the bulbs and the decorations, you see Santa and all this thing. You know that Halloween's coming because you see the signs. You know Christmas is coming because you see the signs. And the sign that a person has received the baptism in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Let's take a look in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, being assembled together with them, he, meaning Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That word baptize, when Jesus said you'll be baptized in the Spirit, that word means immerse. It means to dunk. It means to put totally under. Jesus says, I want to basically dunk you in the Holy Spirit. I want to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. And the reason for them waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is found in verse 8. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When you're dunked, when you're immersed in the Spirit, you will receive power. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jesus wanted the disciples to have power everywhere they went. How many would like to have power? We need power because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and forces of darkness and wickedness in high places. Friends, the devil does have power. God is all powerful, but the devil has power. We need to take it seriously and recognize that and not be afraid of it, because God has given us more power, and Jesus wants to give us power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the sign that people have received this power, the sign they've received it, is found in chapter 2, verse 4. Take a look in chapter 2, verse 4. The setting of this is the day of Pentecost. And there are 120 people are gathered in the upper room. And it says that there was a sound from heaven in verse 2 as a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and each one sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and, circle the word and, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled and they began to speak in tongues. The word and between those combines the two together. It links them together. And so the sign of the baptism is speaking in tongues. As you look throughout Scripture, the tongues is specifically mentioned or something supernatural is implied that took place. A good example is in Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 46. Peter goes to preach the gospel to some Gentiles. The gospel had never been taken to Gentiles, and Peter takes a team of Jews with him. And as Peter's giving the sermon, he doesn't even have a chance to get to the altar call. Now, I tell you, as a preacher, that's a bummer when you don't get to give the altar call, okay? In the middle of his message, the Gentiles receive the salvation message, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, in verse 45, it says, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. How do they know? Verse 46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gives us tongues. What tongues is? Tongues is a language that the Holy Spirit speaks through us. The Holy Spirit, when we speak in tongues, I'm not speaking. I know I can hear the words I'm saying. I know the words I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit who lives in me speaks. And he talks to God. Sometimes he worships God through me. Sometimes it's interceding. Sometimes it's just praying about different things. But it's the Holy Spirit who speaks through us. That's what tongues is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is different from salvation. The two are separate experiences. For example, in John chapter 20, verse 22, this is the very first day that Jesus was risen from the dead. You go to verse 1, it says, the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the dead. And later in the day, at that night and evening, all the disciples are huddled together in a house because they're afraid they're next. They've killed Jesus 3 days ago. We're next. They're huddled in a house. Jesus has appeared to the two women who went to the grave. Peter and John ran to the tomb. The grave is empty. And now that night, they are there. They're in the house, and Jesus appears to him. And this is what he says in verse 22. It says, he breathed on his disciples and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So they received the Holy Spirit on the very first day that Jesus was risen from the dead. Now, do you know when Acts chapter 1 was written? 40 days later. 40 days later, Jesus says, wait for the promise of the Father, wait for the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you this. What happened to them 40 days earlier? They received the Holy Spirit, right? So now, why do they have to wait for the Holy Spirit if they've already received Him? That's a good question. Did they lose Him? Did He leave them? No, He didn't leave them. They still had Him. The reason is that there was a second experience with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you and I become saved, the first experience with the Holy Spirit is salvation. That's the very first experience of salvation. When you become saved, you start a relationship with God. I want you to say relationship with me. Salvation is relationship. Romans 8:11 says that the Holy Spirit lives in us. He dwells in us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? You know what's funny is we see on these horror shows demons living in people. You know, they talk all this kind of thing. But do you realize if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is living in you? And that's why you are never alone. And it says that the Holy Spirit has adopted us into God's family. You can read it through Romans chapter 8, verse 11. We've been adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters of God, and He lives inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the outward body, and the Spirit resides in us. So salvation is relationship. But the second experience with the Holy Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of that is not relationship, but power to work. I want you to say power to work. That's the second experience. So the first experience is salvation. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us and gives us a relationship with God. The second experience is we're baptized in the Spirit. And Jesus dunks us in his Spirit to give us power. Salvation is relationship. Baptism of the Spirit is power. Let's try it again. I think about 10% of you got it, okay? Salvation is baptism of the Holy Spirit is good. Center section to my left. Salvation is. Oh, man, they need help. Let's go to the right. Salvation is. All right, let's go to this side. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is power. All right, oh, we won't leave you out. You get to do both. Salvation is. Oh, salvation is. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Okay, do you guys want a second chance? All right. Salvation is. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Power to work. I want to talk about the power and how we get power when we speak in tongues. Because God has incredible things. I love speaking in tongues. And in the remainder of the time we have, I want to just share with you five word pictures, okay? Five word pictures that share what the Holy Spirit does for us and why I love speaking in tongues. So are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's blast off. And the reason I use that terminology is because the first reason I love speaking in tongues is that speaking in tongues is like launching a smart bomb. Speaking in tongues is like launching a smart bomb. Kaboom! I remember during the Gulf War watching on television missiles that were aimed at different targets in Baghdad, and they would strike with pinpoint accuracy buildings and or military targets or tanks, different things that they were assigned to do. How many remember seeing video like that on television? It was pretty incredible to see it in flight, and you could see the little screen in the radar and it just homing on in. How smart bombs work is that they are guided by lasers. The laser is targeted onto something, and it goes. And as you just saw on the screen, you can be several miles away. The new smart bombs between 150 to 200 miles away. You can be out in the ocean, launch a smart bomb, and hit a target on the land. And they're just incredible things. And they lock in on their target. And that's a lot like what speaking in tongues does. It's like launching a smart bomb. I want you to look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Holy Spirit is God, and so he knows most things. All things. No, the Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows the perfect will of God. He knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what you need. When you have a problem and you don't tell God what it is, he still knows what it is. And so when you speak, it talks about the Holy Spirit. He knows the mind of God, and he utters things that we don't know what we're saying. And what it is when we pray in tongues, when we pray in the Spirit, it's like the Holy Spirit, who has the total mind of God, knows everything, zeroes in on the need, and he prays, and bam! He hits you right. No, he doesn't kill you in the face. But he targets in on what you need to pray for. And that's one of the reasons why I love praying in the Holy Spirit, because there are times when something is weighing on my heart so big, so bad, and I run out of words to say, and I don't know what to say anymore. How many have ever been at that place? You're just so grieved in heart, you don't know what to say. And yet when you begin to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, Craig, don't worry about it. I've got this under control because I know everything. And so he laser locks on what it is, and he flies and he destroys or attacks whatever the problem is. That's why I love praying in the Spirit. Another reason it's important to pray in the Spirit is because Isaiah tells us in chapter 55, the Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." How many of you have ever prayed about something, and then the Lord did something different, and he says, God, you got that wrong. Come on, be honest. How many of you have done that before? I have. You know, there's times I want to say, God, I'm sorry. You don't know what you're doing here, okay? You didn't do what I told you to do. But there are times when the Lord's plan supersedes our plans. I mean, if it were up to the disciples, Jesus never would have died on the cross. Aren't you glad God didn't listen to their prayers? Man. And in fact, Jesus himself, when he was in the garden praying, he said, "Lord, if there's any way for the redemption of man to be done through any other way, if I don't have to go through this cup of suffering, dying on the cross, let it be done." But then he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And that's a place where God wants us to come through. And here's the thing, when I pray in tongues, what is taking place is my agenda is being set aside, my thoughts, my will is being set aside. And as I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit zeroes in and addresses exactly what needs to be prayed for. That's why I love speaking in tongues, because I'm praying for the perfect will of God. And that's something that we can utilize in our lives. Let's take a look at the second reason. The second reason I love praying in tongues is because it is like building a bridge across a deep chasm. How many of you have ever felt like you're on one side and God's on the other side, and there's an expanse like the Grand Canyon that you can't get across? How many of you ever felt like that? You felt separated from God. When I pray in the Spirit, what it does is it builds a bridge. It builds a bridge, and it spans the gap, and it connects me to God. It removes the separation. Now, before I pray in tongues and I'm feeling separation, one of the first things I do is I examine my life if there's any disobedience. Because Isaiah says that our iniquity, our sin, separates us from God. Even as Christians, as believers, if we are walking in disobedience, it can cause a sense of separation. And the reason is the Holy Spirit draws back. He's still inside of us. He lives inside of us if we're saved. But he withdraws that sense of fellowship because he's trying to get us to hear, hey, something's wrong. He wants us to realize something isn't right. So one of the first things I do is I see if there's anything wrong. But there's many times when it's not sin in my life, but maybe it's a problem. Maybe there's an anxiety. Many times problems and troubles and cares can cause us to feel like God is distant. I know David said this. David said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me?" Have you ever felt like God has forsaken you? He's walked out on you? There have been times I've felt that. And when we feel that way, we wonder, how can we build a bridge? Sometimes I will sing. I will praise and worship God. At other times, I will take some verses in the Bible that are really special to me, verses that God has given me, and I'll memorize and meditate on them. But there's other times I will pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit builds this bridge because he knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm experiencing. There's even times when I don't know why I feel this way. I just do. And when I pray in tongues, God can build the bridge. Look at verse 26 of Romans 8. It says, "The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Did you catch that? The Holy Spirit intercedes for you and for me. That's powerful. You've got the Almighty God of creation, the Spirit who hovered over the waters, and it says the Holy Spirit prays for you when you pray in the Spirit. And he knows exactly how to pray. He prays perfect prayers. And so praying in tongues is like building a bridge. It can span that gap of separation that I sense sometimes. And sometimes it takes a while. It may take a few days. It may take a little bit of time. But the thing is, never give up on God, because God's Spirit resides in you. He dwells in you. He loves you and He cares for you. All right, let's look at the third reason why I love praying in tongues. Number three, the third reason I love praying in tongues, because it's like having a good workout. Oh, yeah. Here we go. I'm Hans, this is Franz, and we're here to pump you up. Oh, yeah. How many like lifting weights? Some of you do. Maybe lifting weights isn't your thing. You like to run. How many like to run? Here's the thing. How do you feel after a good workout? You feel exhausted, but at the same time, many times there's a sense of exhilaration. There's a sense of, wow, even though I'm tired, I feel energized. I've got energy, and it just gives you this great high. How many have ever felt that after a good workout? How many work out, period, okay? Well, there's a few. That's why you don't feel that way after a workout. Try it. You'll like it, okay? And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It's like a good workout, and it gives you energy. It revitalizes you and energizes you. We're told in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." Now, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul talks about, "I pray in the Spirit and I pray in the understanding." What Paul is saying there is that when I pray with my understanding, I'm praying in my native tongue. For him, it would have been Greek or Hebrew. For me, it's English. So when I pray with understanding, I know what I'm saying. But when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying in tongues, and I have no idea what I'm saying. And so in Jude, he's saying, when you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up in the faith. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about that, chapter 14. It says, when you give a prophecy in church, like we just saw, it builds up the body. But when you pray in tongues, it just builds up yourself. Praying in tongues builds you up. It's like a spiritual workout. Now, is this a workout? Oh, man, that was a good workout. Was that a workout? That was about 3 seconds. How long do you go to get a workout? 15, 20, 30 minutes? You know, some go an hour. Here's a question. Some of us think, well, I can just pray a minute or two, and that's good for the day. Friends, we are not going to be built up spiritually and have energy and power if we are not spending ample time with the Lord. If we want a good workout, it's going to take 15, 20, 30 minutes. And if you're a new Christian, 15 might be the extent of it. When you first start working out, how long have I gone? 3 minutes, you got to be kidding me, you know. You start out slow and you work your way up. If you have not developed a devotional life, start small and keep building. And if you're baptized in the Spirit, I encourage you to make praying in the Spirit part of your workout, because when you do, it builds you up. The Holy Spirit, who knows what you need, prays for you. He knows the challenges you're going to face today at work or at school, and He's preparing you for it. He knows the problems. He knows the lies the enemy is going to speak to you to tell you that, you know, God doesn't love you, or you can't do this, you're inadequate. And the Spirit prays for you. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never have problems, you'll never feel bad, but when we pray in the Spirit, it does build us up and it gives us power. It's critical to our spiritual health. I know one lady who had a very stressful job, and she had a 30-minute commute home. And many times she would pray in tongues on the way coming home, and she says, "I need my 30 minutes of tongues therapy." It's better than going to a shrink. And on the way home, she just prayed in tongues, prayed in the Spirit all the way home. And by the time she got home, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the pressure that had built up, it was just like God had just released it from her life. tongues builds us up spiritually. It can re-energize and revitalize us. Paul said to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul prayed in tongues a lot. And when I read the Bible and I see the incredible ministry that Paul had, the lives that he changed, and then I read in Corinthians, I pray in tongues more than all of you, I think there's a direct correlation to why he was such a powerful man of God, because the tongues operating in the baptism gave him power and built him up and prepared him for what was taking place. What would happen if we as believers, all of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, would pray 15, 20 minutes a day in tongues? And those of us who are not would seek for the baptism. What would happen in the church? What kind of power would we see in our lives? I know I've spoken to some believers and they've said, you know, last time I spoke in tongues was like 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. In some cases, 2 years ago. If we are not using this beautiful gift the Lord has given us, we're not going to have much spiritual power. Friends, hear me. The Lord did not give us a supernatural language to be exercised for 2-3 minutes down at the altar when we receive it, and then we walk out the doors to never use it again. He gave it to us so that we could be pumped up and prepared spiritually, because you can do this kind of exercise anywhere. You can pray in the Spirit in your car. You can pray in the classroom. You can pray it when you're walking down the hallway. You can pray it in your office. Pray it on a factory assembly line. Pray it out in the oil field. You can pray in your neighborhood. You can pray in your bed laying down at night. You can take this beautiful gift and have a spiritual workout anytime you want. And if we begin to do that, I believe God would give us power so that our spiritual muscles would help us as a church to move in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I love praying in the Spirit because it gives me a spiritual workout. It builds me up and makes me strong. Let's take a look at the next reason. The next reason I love praying in tongues is because it is like joining in a beautiful dance. Praying in the Spirit is like joining in a beautiful dance. I remember reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, and I'd read it many times, but it was about 7-8 years ago, and this caught my eye. This is what Paul said. What is the conclusion then? I'll pray with the Spirit, which is in tongues, and I'll pray with the understanding, my native language. And then he says this, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And it hit me that I can sing in tongues. It never occurred to me to sing in tongues. I prayed in tongues, I spoke in tongues, but I hadn't really worshiped God in tongues. And I realized that God wants the focus of my prayers, sometimes of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is to just worship God and to sing in tongues. Sometimes it's to a worship song that I know. Sometimes it's just, most of the time it's kind of a melody that the Holy Spirit just creates. And as he does, it's like he takes me in his arms and he just glides me along. And it's just a beautiful experience of singing in the Spirit after 5, 10, 15 minutes sometimes. It's just a beautiful time of connecting with God. And God wants you and I to experience Him in greater intimacy. It's like joining in a beautiful dance. You know, we see in the Bible, it says, David danced before the Lord. He danced with all his might. And many of us are Scandinavian or German, and we come from very reserved backgrounds, and we don't show a lot of emotion, you know. And so in church, if we clap our hands, that's about as good as it gets. Yeah? I love the Spanish culture and the black culture because they know how to get into it. They have something that we don't. They have an openness and a freedom. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to take worship in our personal lives to a greater degree. I encourage you, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, try singing in tongues. Okay? Try singing in tongues. Go on a dance with God. Go on a dance with God. Begin to let Him take you to new places that you never thought possible before. It's a beautiful thing. I love speaking in tongues. It does so many awesome, wonderful things. I hope you catch a glimpse of what tongues can be in your life. It can bridge gaps. It can target in on things when you don't know what to pray about. It can make you strong, and it just brings you close to God in an awesome way. Let's take a look at the last reason why I love speaking in tongues. And the last reason, you ready for this? Because it's like travailing in birth. It's like travailing in birth. Now, some of you ladies here this morning are saying, okay, wait a second, Craig. I like bridging gaps. I like targeting in on things. I like to get stronger. You know, I love to dance and be graceful. But travailing in birth, no, that's painful, number one. And number two, you've never been through the experience. And you're right on both counts. I've never had a baby. But my wife has. She's had four of them. And I know it's not pleasant. I know the travail is painful. How many mothers say amen? But I've also been there on four occasions. I'm so glad they let dads in the room now, in the birthing room. Some of you older gentlemen, you maybe didn't have this joy, this privilege of being there. But some of us younger guys, we get to be in the room. And after the excruciating, you know, pain your wife has been through, after you get done, you know, helping your ear because she's yelled in your ear, after, you know, you've kind of recovered from the claw marks in your arm. No, my wife wasn't that bad. She was good. There was only one time she got a little upset with me. Oh, come on, honey. It doesn't hurt that bad. Just breathe. I am breathing. No. She's a great wife. But I've been there. After the travail, when they place that newborn baby in her arms and the joy that is there, the excitement, and the sense of completion and fulfillment, it's a perfect moment, a beautiful moment. And that's what praying in tongues is like. It's prayer is travail, not just tongues, but did you realize that all prayer is travail? Prayer is travailing. Daniel chapter 10, it tells us that Daniel received this message, this vision from God, and he didn't understand it. So he set himself to fast and pray until God sent it. And he prayed for 21 days. This is what happened. Daniel's praying, and the angel comes up and says, hey, from the moment you prayed, God sent, but I was met by demonic forces, and it kept me from coming to you. But your prayers broke through and gave birth to what God wanted. In Daniel 10, verse 12, it says, the angel said to me, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come because of your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. There was a 21-day battle, and friends, there is a spiritual battle that's going on today. It's not against witches and werewolves and vampires like you see on television, okay? This is against real demonic forces. There is a real battle that goes on, and many times We don't understand it. We don't see it. And many times we dismiss it and we don't think about it, but it is there. And if God is going to do things and bring heaven to earth and unleash the supernatural, we need to be people of prayer, powerful prayer. It says, they were together in one accord on the day of Pentecost. They were united in prayer, and that's when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. It says in Acts chapter 4, they prayed and the place where they were at was shaken. Prayer shakes the world. It shakes the supernatural, which causes a shaking on the earth. And we need to become a people that travail in prayer. And the reason I love praying in the Spirit is because it helps me travail and pray. Because there are times when I am praying about something and I come to the end of it and I don't know what to say anymore. And so I will pray in the Spirit. And as I'm praying in the Spirit, He gives me some more ideas. And then I pray those in English. And when I run out of steam there, I begin to pray in the Spirit. And as I'm praying, and He may give me some more things, more concepts, new angles, new perspectives, and I'll begin to pray about those. And then I pray in English. When I run out, then I go back to praying in tongues. And it's kind of like cross-country skiing. How many of you cross-country ski? Cutting a path is difficult work in fresh snow. But if you've got a team of people where one person cuts the path, and when you get tired, they go to the front, and you just switch back and forth, you can make a lot more ground, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, Craig, I'm going to help you pray. I pray in tongues, the Spirit takes the lead, and we go back and forth, and I can go for several minutes praying and interceding so that things are taking place in the heavenly, and God is giving birth to supernatural things on the earth. Praying in tongues is like travailing in birth. It might be painful. It might be difficult. But friends, the life it creates, the joy it gives is incredible. God wants to unleash His supernatural in our lives. One way He does that is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we pray in tongues. When I pray in tongues, I don't have to go into a trance, okay? I'm fully aware of what I'm saying. And when I pray in tongues, I hear the words. I have no idea what they mean, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to God. Like I said, sometimes it's in the car, it's in the office, sometimes it's in a church service down here. When we're in the church service, I'm just praying in tongues quietly under my breath, saying, God, what do you want for the service? What do you want for this time? There are times I come in here in the sanctuary during the week and I'm praying in tongues specifically for the service or for our youth ministry or for our kids' church, our discipleship groups, a ladies' Bible study that's going on Tuesday night. And I'll come in here and I think about the different ministry opportunities we have going on and I begin to pray for them and then I just begin to pray in the Spirit saying, Lord, you know the hurts that are coming to the service, that are coming to the group. You know the needs. You know the doubts. You know the fears. And I'm thinking about that in my mind, but I'm praying in the Spirit in my tongue. And so as I think, it's not that I have an empty mind. I have thoughts in my mind, things of what I'm praying for, and I let the Spirit, as I think about that, put the words in my mouth to pray and intercede and laser lock on so He can pray for exactly what He wants. Praying in tongues is a powerful thing. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, friends.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.